Well, that sneaked up on me. But it's good to be in the Lord's house today, and I know that this is a special day, one that we are glad to honor our mothers. And I know that Wednesday night I gave the folk that were here an opportunity to share about their mothers, and I wish we had time to let everybody do that this morning. And I would love to tell you about my mother, my grandmothers, and the mother of my children. But we will save that for another day. Today, I want to talk to you about a woman in the Bible who's a special special woman. A woman who made a difference. Her name is Jochebed. Jochebed, a courageous mother. And would you turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 8 to get us started out on our story about Jochebed this morning. So would you stand with me as we read God's Word together? And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. You may be seated. Jochebed, a courageous woman. Back in 2012, I think it was, the movie Courageous came out, and it was a real blessing. And in the movie Courageous, most of the focus was on the men. But the wives, Victoria Mitchell, Carmen Martinez, and Kayla Hayes, represent women who are facing various crises of faith, like many women in the world today. In each of those families, there were situations and circumstances that test them and tempt them to fear. After that movie, Brother Robert and I preached a series of sermons on the courageous theme. One of the sermons that I preached in that series was a sermon on Ruth. And I must confess, I was tempted to just go back and preach that sermon rather than having to dig up a new one. But the Lord led me to this story of Jochebed, a courageous mother, following in that theme of the movie Courageous. And I hope that as we study about the courage of Jochebed, we can see that same courage in our own wives and mothers, our mothers today. So that we can know from their lives that God and His Word are true. And as someone said, faith is fear that has said its prayers. And so we have mothers here today that we all love and admire, and And we're thankful for God. Thankful to God for them. But today we're going to focus in on this one mother. Her name is Jochebed. Meet Jochebed. Her name, Jochebed, in the Hebrew language would be pronounced Jochebed. And Exodus chapter 6 and verse 20 gives us kind of the rest of the story of this marriage between Amram and Jochebed. Now, Amram took for himself Jochebed, his father's sister, as wife, and she bore him Aaron and Moses. Now, the name Jochebed means Jehovah is glory. What a name to have. Jehovah is glory. And yet, Jochebed, I think, lived up to that name as we study about her today. We see her racial identity. She was an Israelite. And we all know the story of Israel during this time period, how Jacob and his sons had to, because of famine in Israel, and because the son Joseph had preceded them, and they went to Israel, went to Egypt, and ultimately, because a new Pharaoh came along that didn't remember and know Joseph, and so he put the Israelites, made them slaves. And so Jochebed was one of those Israelites. She was one of those who had been enslaved in Egypt. But she was also one of God's chosen people. And you see, one of the miracles of history, as we look at it, is the story of God's chosen people, of Israel, and how it started out with Abraham way down there in the land of Ur of the Chaldees, and how he led Abraham out to that land of Palestine, the land of Israel, the promised land. And how through all of these centuries of time, God has continued to protect and to bless and to preserve His chosen people, Israel. One of the dark days in Israel was this period of time in Egypt, when the Pharaoh looked at how Israel was increasing in number. He became fearful. What's going to happen with Israel becoming so numerous? Jochebed was also a member of the tribe of Levi. Now, we all remember that the tribe of Levi was that special tribe that God had set apart to serve Him and to be active in ministering in the temple, and before that, the tabernacle. And one of the three main divisions of the Levites was the Kohathites. Began by a man by the name of Kohath. Guess who Kohath's sister was? Jochebed was the sister of Kohath. And so she and her family were intimately involved in the worship and the service of Jehovah. But interesting also is that it says Amram took for himself Jochebed, his father's sister, as wife. He married his aunt. Sounds a little odd. We don't know the rest of the story. I'm sure that it would be an interesting story if we knew it. She married her brother's son. Jochebed married her brother's son. Wow. That wouldn't happen today, generally speaking. But it was probably fairly common back in those days. But the testimony of Jochebed was that she was a godly woman who lived up to her name. Jehovah is glory. And she lived a godly life. She lived a life of faith in God, knowing that God had placed her here on this earth for a purpose. And as the story unfolds, she understood that this child, this baby that God had given to her, was given to her for a purpose. And she was determined that that baby would live up to the promise and the purpose of God. She had a relationship with God. She knew Him. I'm sure that she prayed fervently to Him because He was her God and her sovereign King. In short, Jochebed was an example of a godly mother. Today is Mother's Day, and we're here to honor all of our mothers. And I hope the story of Jochebed and her wonderful testimony will remind us of our own mothers and mothers-in-law and wives and daughters who are mothers-to-be, that they can reflect the glory of God as Jochebed did. But you see, Jochebed had a problem. She was a slave in Egypt. And she had no personal freedom. She was a slave. Egypt had a policy. Egypt had an Israelite policy. And if we may, and this should have been in the slides, but it didn't get in there. So Exodus chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, if I may read these verses this morning just to give us a more complete background of Jochebed's circumstances. And Joseph died, all his brothers, and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And it happened in the event of war, and they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Python and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel." So you see, that's the problem that Egypt had. Israel became a problem. They multiplied. They grew in number. They grew mighty. They were a strong people because they were God's people. And God was blessing them. And so Pharaoh came up with a policy. We've got to deal with them shrewdly, the Bible says. We've got to come up with policies where we can control them, where we can limit their numbers. And so Pharaoh came up with two policies. We'll look at those in just a second. But the one thing that we noticed about this whole story is Pharaoh's ignorance. Because you see, Pharaoh worshipped many gods there in Egypt, but he did not know the true God. He did not know Jehovah, God of Israel. And his ignorance led him into some serious mistakes. He did not know Israel's God. Now, if I may speak about our own country and our own time in which we live. You've heard me say it before, but it seems to me that our country, a country that was founded on Bible truth, Christian principles, and yet our nation today seems to be turning away, running away from God at a terrible speed. We have politicians and leaders in Washington, D.C., who have in the past professed to be Christian, but they are denying the power of God, and they are denying the presence of God and not letting God lead in our nation today. And you and I need to pray for the leaders of our nation, both local, state, and national, that God would move upon their hearts, that they might not make the same grievous errors that Pharaoh of old made. Because Pharaoh came up with two policies. The first policy was expressed in verse 11, "Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens." They thought, if we give cruel punishment to these Israelites, then they will not be able to flourish as they have been. And their number will be diminished, and many of them perhaps will even be killed by the cruelty and the hard labor. The problem was God was with them. And despite all that Pharaoh did and all of the cruel taskmasters, Israel flourished. And so Pharaoh came up with his second policy. That was, kill the babies. There were two godly Hebrew midwives. And you want to know their names, and I can't remember. One of them was Puah, and the other was Shiphrah. Two midwives. Now, Israel was probably 600,000 at least. It's hard to imagine how one or two midwives could handle the whole deal. They may just have been the head midwives, I don't know. But at any rate, they were godly, and Pharaoh gave them a command, said, when the Hebrew women deliver their babies, take the babies, the boy babies, and throw them in the Nile River. And Pharaoh's idea was that either they're going to be eaten by crocodiles or they'll be drowned in the river. And so this was his population control method for the nation of Israel. Now, if I may look at the bigger picture, I think that this was another, because you see, the devil, our great adversary, God's great adversary. Thank God we know that God is omnipotent and all-powerful, and that ultimately God is going to win the victory. But Satan, from the beginning of time, from that time in the Garden of Eden, Satan has been doing everything he can to defeat and destroy God's purpose of redemption for the human race. You see, God's purpose was that Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, would come into this world and be born of a virgin named Mary, and that He would grow up and ultimately would die on the cross for the sins of the world. And so, from that time in the garden down to the present, Satan's great purpose is to defeat the redemptive purpose of God among lost human beings. And I believe that this was another one of those attempts where he was trying to destroy all of these male babies born to Jewish mothers. But in the midst of this dark time, in the midst of all of this trouble and persecution and slavery and heartaches and problems that they were having, we see Jochebed's faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command." Wow. They were not afraid of the king's command. Now, the faith that is spoken of here is not the faith of Moses. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents." It's talking about the faith of his parents. And yes, Jochebed, this mother of Moses, she made it into the Faith Hall of Fame. Maybe her name is not mentioned, but that's who it's talking about. She and her husband. They had the faith to hide Moses for 3 months because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. And Jochebed had the faith to defy the king's command. The king's command was every male child, when it's delivered, will be destroyed, will be killed. But Jochebed had the faith to hide her son for 3 months. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 9 says, "If you will not believe and trust in and rely on God, surely you will not be established." That's from the Amplified Version. If you will not believe in and trust in and rely on God, surely you will not be established. And so, Jochebed's faith was that faith that hid her son for 3 months. And yet, finally, the time came when she realized that it was inevitable that he was going to be discovered and that Pharaoh's henchmen would come and take him and kill him and throw him in the river. So, Jochebed's faith kicked in again. She had the faith to place her son in that tiny ark, that small, well, the Bible says ark. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." And so God was able to work in that situation as a result of Jochebed's faith in Him. She saw and she knew about all the other boy babies that were being murdered all around the land of Israel there in Egypt. And Jochebed said to herself, "God, I don't know why this is all happening, but I'm entrusting my son to you. You gave him to me. I believe you have a plan for him. So I place him in this ark in your keeping." Now today we live in perilous times. Like Jochebed of old, and her son Moses. God has entrusted our children into our hands. And in this perilous world in which we live, we do our best to teach and to train and to guide them in the truth of God's Word and how to live and how to love and how to honor God and other people. But there comes a time when we have to turn them loose. We have to send them out into the world. And you've heard me tell this story before. And after all this time, I still can't believe we did it. But back in 1976, when Judy graduated from high school over in Taiwan, a 17-year-old, and we took her to the airport in downtown Taipei, put her on an airplane, and sent her off to the United States to go to college and to begin her life after Taiwan. Again, I say, I can't believe we did. In fact, the next one that came along, Belinda, we sent Barbara home with her. We decided that was not good policy. But look how she turned out. God was with her. God blessed her. God was with her through those two years of college. And we thank God so much for that. And yes, we today, I think 1976 was a different era from today. And today, when we are launching our children out into the world, out into a dangerous world, it truly takes faith. But we have to believe that we have taught them, we have trained them, we have instilled them in them the truths of God's Word and how to live and how to be good people. And so we just push them out into the world and pray for them. Number four, Jochebed's courage. Jochebed, a courageous mother. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. A man of the house of Levi went and took his wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Jochebed demonstrated her courage. She knew Pharaoh's decree. She knew that the Egyptians were ruthless killers. She knew that her baby's life would be lost if she didn't do something to save him. At the same time, she knew that she would lose her own life if she were caught hiding her baby. But that decree of Pharaoh went against the law of God that was hidden, written in her heart. And it went against a mother's love for her child. So Jochebed, even though she knew all of these things, she feared God more than man. She feared God even more than Pharaoh. So she made a decision. She made the decision that would put her and her family in great danger. But she feared God and she loved her baby so much that she was willing to make the sacrifice. So she hid her baby for 3 months until she realized after 3 months that it was inevitable that he was going to be discovered. You can't keep a baby quiet forever. We all know that. Then she made another decision. Exodus 2:4. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. Jochebed had given Moses everything she could during those 3 months when she had hidden him. But she had to give him up. She made an ark, a little cradle, plaited with reeds, and covered it with asphalt and pitch. Now, I read one source that said the plaited with reeds was supposed to protect against the crocodiles. But it's interesting, the asphalt and pitch are the same things that Noah covered the outside of the ark with. That big ark. Then Jochebed took that little cradle, that little ark, down to the Nile River with its treasure inside, and placed it among the reeds there at the river's edge. What faith and what courage it took for Jochebed to place that little 3-month-old baby boy in that little ark among the reeds beside the Nile River and walk away, not knowing what his fate would be. And I think Jochebed possibly felt in her heart that she might never see her son again. Now, we live in a day and an era when there are many unwed mothers who thankfully refuse to have an abortion. Consequently, most of them have no choice but to place their baby up for adoption. Like Jochebed, they must trust God to find a loving home for their child. Many of those mothers, their hearts break at the thought of giving up their baby. But God is honored when they obey His command not to kill the unborn child. As a result of Pharaoh's decree, thousands of Jewish babies were either eaten by crocodiles or drowned in the Nile River. But Jochebed's decision proved to be the decision that saved a nation. By saving the life of the future leader of Israel, who would lead them out of Egyptian slavery to the Promised Land. You and I, here at our church, who love children so dearly, we ask ourselves the question, how could anyone desire to take the life of innocent, born or unborn babies? How could anyone do such a thing? It is unfathomable to us. When we consider the Word of God, the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, these 6 things the Lord hates. Yes, 7 are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. And yet we live in a nation and a world where innocent, unborn children in their mother's womb are being slaughtered by the hundreds of thousands. In fact, in the United States alone, since the court ruling in 1973 of Roe v. Wade, 57,762,196 babies have been murdered by abortion. And that number is multiplied several times over if we consider all the abortions that have been performed throughout the world. So I ask the question, what if Moses had been killed by throwing him in the Nile like all those other boy babies? Israel would have been missing the leader who led them out of Egyptian bondage to the promised land. And how many of those boy, Jewish boy babies would have grown up to be great men and great leaders? I understand we're dealing with the sovereignty of God, and God was working in the heart and life of Moses. But we think about all of those 57,762,000 that have been aborted here in America. And we wonder how many geniuses, how many great scientists, educators, musicians, or pastors have been killed. Let me tell you about another birth. I read about it this week, and I copied this information down about this gentleman's birth. Isaac's birth took place in England on a cold Christmas day. He was sick, born premature, and everyone around him thought he was going to die. His father had died 2 months earlier, and his mother was having a hard time running the farm and looking after her new baby. And a war was raging around them. Some people think it would have been easier for Isaac's mother if she had aborted Isaac. But his mother wouldn't consider it. And just as well for the world, you see, Isaac would grow up to be a scientific genius. Isaac was the one who discovered the law of gravitation. He revolutionized mathematics by developing calculus. He improved the telescope. He became famous for his work in physics, mathematics, and astronomy. Isaac was the first person to receive a knighthood for scientific achievement. When he died in 1727 at the age of 84, the government honored him by burying him in London's famous Westminster Abbey. Yes, it might have been easier for his mother to abort the child who became Sir Isaac Newton. But the world would never have known the greatest scientist who ever lived. How many geniuses has the world lost through abortion? We will never know. But finally, we consider Jochebed's reward. Exodus chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Isn't it wonderful how God works? Jochebed gave up her son, but she got him back. It was no accident that when Pharaoh's daughter saw the beautiful baby boy and heard his cry, that she had compassion on him. She knew her father's decree. She knew the command to kill all Hebrew boy babies. But she saw him, and in her heart welled up a mother's instinct. She had compassion. She loved him. and she wanted to adopt him. She made him her very own son. And so after Moses was weaned, he went to live in the palace, and he grew up there in the palace of the Pharaoh and received probably the best education available in Egypt. But Jochebed got to nurse her own son. And he stayed there with her. And, you know, weaning for a baby back then was not just a few months and then you're weaned, but it was a several years process. And Jochebed, during that time, got to teach and to train and to love and to demonstrate and to tell about God to her son, Moses. It was Jochebed's love, faith, and courage that saved her child from a cruel death and preserved him to bless the world. And mothers today who love the Savior and who have a deep concern for their unborn child can rest assured that Jochebed's God still lives and is able to protect and save her precious child from physical death as well as eternal death. Jochebed's reward is a picture of the reward that every faithful mother receives as a result of her faithfulness in being a godly mother who loves, sacrifices, and gives to all of her children. For every mother and father, our children are truly a heritage, a reward from God. May God bless every mother here today and across our land who is faithfully giving us our children and blessing us with them. And we children are blessed by having our mothers. Conclusion. Jochebed was a godly mother who laid the foundation for Moses during the first 5 or 6 years of his life. Jochebed was the chief influence used by God in his early formative years that prepared Moses for the great calling of God to lead his people out of Egyptian bondage. Jochebed's love, faith, and courage in saving her son from a cruel, watery death and living a godly life before him doubtless had a profound influence on Moses and his life. And I close with the scripture, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That was the reward. God is faithful. And as we consider our own families, and we mothers, as we look at our children, we can be thankful for how God has blessed us with them. And as we see them grow and mature and develop into godly young men and women, we can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for our mothers. Brother Stephen, come and lead us in our hymn of invitation.